Welcome to season 3 of Underneath It All. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. And also, you're in for a treat because this season is going to be a little bit different than the others. On previous episodes, I had the honor and privilege of sharing space with folks who believe in breaking the negative stigma surrounding mental health by normalizing specific mental health conversations. We talked about living with PTSD with Triple Crowner Acuna, living with bipolar type 1 with Metalsmith Laura. We spoke about high functioning anxiety with Nicole Antoinette, and we spoke about gender identity with Vera, the badass mountaineer. After 2 seasons of very different conversations, I reached out to my Instagram community and other folks in mental health advocacy to ask about what was missing with this type of work. Here are some of the responses that caught my eye. How do I share conversations about my mental health with a loved one? How can I be there for my partner when they're struggling? How do I cultivate a community that builds me up and strengthens my mental health? How do I bring my mental health into the backcountry? How do I get over the discomfort of mental health discussion? The most recognizable theme throughout these questions was a craving for healthy community that can speak about mental health topics with boundaries, mindfulness, balance, and without emotionally dumping on one another. Over the last several months, I've taken a lot of time to think about what resources are actually available to teach these kinds of boundaries and communication styles. Sure, there's Instagram slides talking about how you know someone is emotionally dumping, or resources regarding different forms of therapy. But as we all know, social media is a toxic place for our mental health, and therapy is just one part of mental wellness. Although I'm still learning myself how to better communicate these sorts of conversations, my master's in mental health therapy, practicing as a therapist, and honestly, very real life lessons from this past year throughout COVID has taught me a lot about what it means to cultivate a healthy mental health community with others around me, which is why this season exists. Welcome to season 3 of Underneath It All, where I get the opportunity to share a holistic approach of an outdoor adventure as I attempt to backpack from Canada to Mexico, in hopes that through listening to conversations between me and a few others I can't wait for you to meet, you can learn how to have conversations about your mental health with people you trust, you can have a better understanding of others around you, learn to accept and fully embrace your truest narrative, and continue breaking the negative stigma that has engulfed mental health. Meet Alex.
Very emotional.
Okay.
Get over it.
My name is Alex. I am no one. I'm your plain old average Joe.
What kind of stuff do I do?
What do you do?
I hang out. I vibe hard.
Super viber.
Chillin' to the max. Tie-dye constantly.
And you've also gone through some shit in your life.
A couple things. It's a difficult question for me because I think I'm really pretty average. But yeah, I live in a van. I have 2 dogs. I'm an artist. I've had many careers in my time. I'm basically gonna be your trail support person for stuff like your bike and switching out your pack and your gear and whatever, and then also being there for whatever you need.
This summer, Alex and I are doing something fun together, but also apart. Alex has agreed to be my support in my bikepacking, backpacking adventure.
Trying to live my best life, that's about it. Just trying to do things I enjoy. Trying to travel, trying to see things, trying to have experiences. Not trying to be anybody but myself.
That's right, damn straight.
I've been in the van for a year now, and a huge portion of it I spent with a partner. So I'm very much looking forward to spending time this summer traveling alone, having a more authentic experience for myself. Just kind of living the way that I want to, because the last 10 years I've been in relationships, and I really haven't had the time to spend with myself, really doing what I want to do and putting myself first, putting myself as a priority and whatever that is. I have not been doing that. I'm very excited to be able to travel and be alone and be really mindful and intentional about all of that, but also have a purpose of supporting you on the trail.
How are you going to use your time, you think?
Actually, something that's really interesting that I didn't realize until a few months ago. I feel most myself when I'm alone, and I can act the most authentically when I am by myself. A few months ago, I realized I was spending some time by myself just midday with the dogs, had nothing else to do. So I just started drawing in my sketchbook. Obviously, something I really enjoy doing as an artist. I realized that I don't spend time doing those things when I have other people around me. And so living in the van with somebody was really hard. You're on top of each other constantly.
It's not the good kind.
In the entire year, I hadn't made time for those activities for myself. I hadn't made space for those activities. And sitting down and just drawing with no expectation, no anything, just the time, how I wanted it to be spent, I hadn't done that. And so being able to use my time and my days in whatever way that I want to do it, that is something I'm really excited about.
Isn't it crazy to think about how we forget our hobbies as we become adults, as if they never were a part of us? I feel like my hobbies were who I was. Mm-hmm. Music and art is how I've always expressed myself. And the fact that as I got older, I stopped valuing that.
I think it's something that gets pushed to the side. And for me, especially because the marriage that I was in and just the relationships I've had, I always was putting myself second, my actual needs and feelings and emotions second to the other person. And the hobbies were they weren't even a part of it because I wasn't even putting the first parts of myself as a priority, let alone the hobbies and the fun part of things. Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to spend the time on myself the way that I want to. If it's going out and exploring, going on a drive, hiking with the dogs, biking, drawing, doing nothing, just enjoying where I'm at.
A lot of the hobbies that you have are very intimate and very personal to you, but it's something that we don't get to, well, at least for me, I've lost that part of myself for the last few years and just kept working and kept trying to pursue the American dream of, honestly, wasn't even pursuing the American dream, just felt this pressure to
just work as hard as possible.
Yeah.
At all times.
At all times without any rest. And I think a lot of people struggle to do what they love.
Part of it is that we don't have a society that's necessarily built for that, to be able to enjoy things. It's working constantly, making enough money, providing, all that stuff. So it is a huge privilege to be able to do the things that you enjoy. And so I think it shouldn't be taken lightly. But it's so important. It's so important to who we are. Just being your true self is having things that you enjoy, things that make you happy, things that you identify with. It's not just work, work, work all the time.
It's so hard to take a step back from that. It felt wrong for me to quit my job. I remember how it felt as a therapist. And I remember talking to my supervisor about it, who was just the best, best human. And I was telling them, I feel like I can't give my clients advice when I'm living a lie, but I feel so guilty for choosing myself. I felt guilty for pursuing a more simple life that didn't require a lot of other things.
I think I had a similar experience when I decided to move into the van. The whole thing about it at the time was very escapist and trying to get away from this life that I wasn't happy in, that I had created, but I wasn't happy doing it. And I was extremely overwhelmed, hadn't dealt with the divorce. I was married. I owned a home in the suburbs. I had a stepdaughter. I was working full time. The relationship that I was in was not right for me at all. Just got to a boiling point where I couldn't do it anymore. So I decided to get divorced. And that was a very difficult decision to have to make. And it was a very difficult thing to navigate because it's not easy. Even if you want out, it's still not easy to do. And it's still very overwhelming.
the system is so not made to get divorced and it not be the worst experience ever.
I mean, even in California, there's a 6-month waiting period to get divorced because they want to give you this time to decide if you really want to do it. And it's so interesting because you can decide to get married after a day of knowing. It doesn't matter. You can decide to get married that day, sign the paperwork, we're married. But then if you want to get divorced, it's wait 6 months, fill out this paperwork, are you sure? It's a system that's designed for you to stay married. And so it is really hard to make that decision and then process it all and go through this legal process while you're also going through an emotional process. And at that point, I was so ready. I was living a life that was so wrong for me, was so ready to leave that I did, and I did it really abruptly. Didn't deal with it at all and just kept living. I actually had my cousin had come out. He was planning on visiting at that time anyways, and I basically surprised him with, actually, that's my move-in day to my new apartment, and you're gonna help me move out of my house. And we did, and it was over, I want to say, 3 or 4 days that he was out, and we moved out. It was that Monday, and I went to work. Like, I went straight back to work, and I didn't even talk about it. I didn't feel that anyone needed to know, wanted to know. I don't know, like, I didn't want it to, like, slow me down or make me less than. I really do struggle with being emotional, and so it was really hard, but I didn't want anyone to know that. I mean, I threw myself into work, 100%. I was there, because now this marriage and the trouble at home was no longer there, and so
you have to put your energy somewhere.
I channeled all that energy into work and was just so focused on it. And then I pretty shortly got into another relationship thinking that was fine. Thinking I had full control over, like, no, I totally processed. I'm good. I'm done with that. I've moved on to this. Everything's cool. Then fast forward to I have this decision to move into a van. It was something that I kind of considered when I got divorced that I was just going to jump right into, but I wasn't ready for it. But I finally did, and I bought the van in January of 2020.
Were you happy?
Probably not. Part of me wants to say yes, because I went from something that I was so unhappy, so moving into this new space, and not to say it was all, you know, this new partner's fault or anything that they were, like, making me on. But I just didn't have a baseline. I had a baseline that was very low of what my happiness meant.
That is so relatable.
And so when I took a step up, I was like, whoa.
This shit is amazing.
Yeah, and I just didn't really have a good baseline of what my happiness actually was. And so I made this decision to move into the van. And my partner at the time decided that they also wanted to come with. And so we left, and I think he had his own reasons for going, and he had his own struggles with it, but I was ready to just escape, leave everything. People say, oh, burnout is real. And I would be like, yeah, burnout's real.
Okay.
But I was actually truly suffering from actual burnout of, I just threw myself into it, but it got too much. It was too overwhelming. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was basically in denial about everything that I was doing. I started to not care about the decisions I was making at work. I've always taken pride in my jobs and the things that I do, and anything I'm doing, I want to take pride in it. There was nothing there. I was an empty person.
Did you notice that you were empty?
At the time, I thought that I was just stressed. It was just like, oh, I'm just stressed. It's stress. But now looking back on it, I know I was just an empty person. I hadn't dealt with the trauma of getting divorced and why I got divorced and all of that. And then just moved into another relationship, like acting on the same plane of everything. And just the trauma that I had gone through, I dealt with none of it. And then I just worked and worked and worked. All of those hobbies that I did, I was doing none of them. And I got to the point where I didn't even know. And it's like the typical, like, depression thing, like the things you once enjoyed, you don't enjoy anymore. I didn't. I really didn't enjoy anything. Everything just felt like stress. So it was really like true burnout. And so then going in the van, it was just escape.
Which is very satisfying.
When I put in my notice for my job, I did it one afternoon, like on a whim. I was like, I'm doing it today. And I sent
it. After thinking about it.
After thinking about it, I sent this email out. And the owner of the company called me and was like completely blindsided. Like, what are you talking about? And I just started crying on the phone. Which is
so unlike you.
Which is so unlike me. And I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And everyone thought I was insane. What are you talking about? Putting myself into these little boxes of like, this is my expectations, and meeting someone who was just the wrong fit, who told me, well, you'll want all these things. You'll want marriage. You'll want kids. You'll want this house. And me going, okay, I guess I will. And then I put myself into this box where like all of a sudden I looked around and was like, no one knows who I am.
It just shows that we carry narratives from what feels like nowhere for so long, and the only way we can change our life is if we face those narratives. Because similarly, I have created, before I got healthy, I was creating this narrative of who I think, who my parents wanted me to be, or who Eric wanted to be, honestly, and whoever all of these people wanted me to be. And you can really get lost in that. Most of us have some form of trauma, and that's just the reality. And unfortunately, our childhood, and a lot of people our age, didn't know that. And it's not even their fault or our fault, but it is the reality. And it sucks that we have to address these things later. But if you don't, there are definitely consequences, and you have to actually address it, and you have to let it go. That's the only way you can make change. What are you going to do about it? Because we're adults now, and we do have this knowledge, and we do have this education. Like, it's science at this point, and to deny it is also to be the victim of it.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think about the things that occurred in my childhood, and then I just carried it and carried it and carried it until it just got to this point. And yeah, I mean, then you, at some point you have to deal with it. So that's what I tried to do.
Did anyone notice that you weren't feeling like yourself in the midst of that transition? Like, what were your, I guess, symptoms, if you will?
Of like, just the like burnout, yeah. Or like, I mean, I realize that there's no one single person who knows everything. So like my family members might know something, my partner might know something, a friend might know something. Yeah. And so people just didn't really know a lot about what I was feeling, a lot about what I had gone through. So my partner at the time knew a level of frustration that I couldn't hold back anymore. I was so angry. I didn't have the space to process things fully. I, again, just like in denial of things, people did not know what was going on. And they didn't, I think they just saw someone who was angry. Like my coworkers, my friends, just saw someone who was angry and frustrated.
I think it's interesting because there were symptoms, but because of stigma and because mental health is not addressed on a regular basis, I feel like we're so blind to what's going on with other people. And instead of looking at the symptoms as very much even a rational way, like it's obvious. So often these symptoms are obvious that something else is going on, but because our brains are not wired to address that, it's as if we just erase everything. And I think about that with my own brain. My anxiety got so, so bad. But in my head, I'm like, this is normal. This is fine. Because no one else was like talking about the anxiety. So I'm assuming everyone else is probably doing the same things or whatever, because no one knew how to talk about anxiety. I wonder what it would have been like if I had known this information even like 10 years ago. And I feel even confused even saying that, because I've been in therapy for years, but even therapy has changed dramatically over the last 10 years. Like, it used to only be talk therapy, and it was And I had Christian talk therapy, which is like bullshit, because God takes away all of your problems. But he doesn't, actually. It's like kind of giving it to God, but that shit doesn't work. It still fucking lives inside of us. And you really have to actually talk about the stuff. Say the things that actually happen to you out loud, and then you actually have to let it go.
Living in the van was something that I had wanted to do, and traveling was something that I had wanted to do. And so I think had I stayed doing what I was doing and hadn't just said, fuck it, and left, I probably would have hit. I was very close to rock bottom before I left. And so even though it was an escapist way of leaving, and, you know, it was a way of just not dealing with things, it was a dream that I had that was mine, and my partner just came along. But it was my dream. It was my reality. It was something that I made happen. And so that did kind of bring me up a little bit of like, hey, you can make decisions. You have dreams. You have things that you want to do. And so that did bring me up in a lot of ways of like just stepping out there and saying I'm doing this, whether or not my partner came with me, it didn't matter. But I just, again, just threw it all out and was like, okay, cool, I'm here and I'm ready. And then I was like, oh my, I don't know what's going on. I got stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
I've got emotions.
It is so hard to accept the truth about ourselves when you have tried to change who you are for so long. And how could we lose ourselves so quickly or with that person or with that circumstance? And this is something I'm working on, is we did our best with what we knew and what we had, you know? Mm-hmm. But it is hard to also accept in the same breath that was a lot of time wasted. And that doesn't mean you don't have a chance to like make your life what you want it to be.
As mentioned, therapy has come a long way, and although speaking and saying the thing out loud and letting it go doesn't always work for all mental health illnesses, especially more severe ones, checking in with yourself and being honest about where you are at mentally is the first step towards healing. But unfortunately, it doesn't get any easier to be honest about all the messed up narratives we've told ourselves throughout the years. Living a lifestyle that values mental wellness is challenging because you're always learning the difference between doing this because you actually want to versus reacting to past pain or influences. Over the last several months, Alex and I have talked and researched extensively about this topic, both realizing in our own ways that we haven't chosen our own happiness because of our pasts. More after the break.
How can someone tell who they're supposed to be? When they're supposed to be gone through your own hell, when heaven is hard to see, heaven is hard to see. Got plenty of parts for keeping. Don't know if I'll make the weekend. What kind of fool would take this long? Breaking the rules, your favorite.
I'd like to take a moment to talk about our sponsor for this entire season, Salomon, who I've had the privilege to work with as an ambassador for the last 7 months. Unlike most outdoor brands I've worked with, Salomon follows through on their sustainability efforts, only sending ambassadors the gear that is necessary, minimal, and PFC-free. The climate crisis becomes more severe by the day, and until more brands and distributors take a stronger initiative to reduce their carbon footprint with consumers, partnerships, and global strategies, the crisis will only get worse. It's easy to get overwhelmed by the climate crisis and not know where to begin as far as action steps. But similar to making changes in our own personal lives, Salomon is mindful of the small steps necessary in order to achieve bigger impacts. Check out the show notes to see how you can make small, mindful, environmental choices and make a big difference in our world.
What are you most excited about for yourself? And what have you learned from the past that you're excited to bring for your trip?
It's not all about isolating myself and being alone, but I also know that I want to be able to share with people and experience things with people. Figuring out how to balance the part of me that does isolate and doesn't share things and doesn't want to have emotions. I mean, even in good ways. Like, I think everyone hears that as like, oh, I don't like to share sadness or anger or whatever. I also oftentimes don't share joy and happiness with other people too, for whatever reason.
Sharing joy is extremely vulnerable to me, almost more vulnerable than sharing depression, because it's almost like, especially because of my upbringing, I feel so shamed to be happy and to do things for myself because everything was just terrible. And like, I felt like life was supposed to be that way. I'm trying to find this balance. And this does lead into the CDT, because the reason why I'm doing the CDT this way is because I'm trying to find the balance between this through hiking world that I love, but I almost love it too much. Like, I'm almost like just obsessed with becoming isolated because I don't have to deal with all of the other stuff. Isolation is one of my coping skills. And I think what we're trying to do, and why I'm glad it's you, putting ourselves in very vulnerable spaces where we're trying to figure out how can we balance the workaholic as well as giving ourselves space to do what we actually want to do. Honestly, this podcast and this whole entire season is about trying to figure that out. And I think that's a valuable question, is what do you do to escape your reality? Mm-hmm. And it's okay that you have to, because that's actually a beautiful survival skill. But if you stay in survival, you'll never get to experience anything.
What are you most excited for on the trail?
I'm most excited to be present and experience like actual happiness. I feel that like it's really emotional. I'm just excited that I found something that forces you to be present enough. And when I am present, I have the fucking time of my life. In my real life here, I feel like I'm so quick to think that something bad is going to happen if I'm happy. But when I'm on my bike, I don't even have the chance to think that way. And I hope that I can, you know, we're talking about finding the balance. I'm hoping that I can start learning how to balance that side of myself of being present enough to just be in the moment and experience things as they are. And I hope I can bring that to accept that into my daily life outside of trail.
Most of you probably know this, but in 2018, I hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and in 2019, I hiked the Appalachian Trail. And as praised as those accomplishments were in the outdoor industry and honestly in my community, I used those trails to escape my reality, and I wasn't able to bring my mental struggles with me on the trail. This caused an aspect of dissociation, which is a symptom that causes an inability to connect with my own body. Because of this and a few other things, I would often push my body more than I should have in order to escape my own brain or make decisions when I'm in flight or fight mode, also called red zone. This is the danger of praising the American version of success, or the American dream. It looks great on social media, but you truly don't know what's going on with a person in their real life. And honestly, I was a part of that problem.
What are you most nervous about?
I'm nervous that I'm going to get carried away in my own head, because oftentimes I don't realize it's happening. My anxiety takes over, and having ADHD only makes it even more amplified, because I truly feel like I could go on forever. And I have so much energy. And when I'm out there, the opposite happens, where I have no distractions from people, because that's where I normally give my energy to when I'm unhealthy. But when I'm unhealthy in the backcountry, I just push myself to just such unreasonable limits. I mean, that's why I set it up this way, is to have you so I could see you. I have Eric so I could talk to Eric. I'm trying to take time and slow down, but I'm still going to be out there by myself for many days at a time. And what I've done in the past is run away from everything. And because physical stuff is such a, it's so easy to feel like a badass when I'm constantly going, I just hide behind that. And I just don't want to do that, because the thru hiking world is so much like that. And people are kind of always talking about miles and stuff. It's definitely my MO, and which is a whole nother reason why I don't really even want to meet people, is because I get carried into what other people want so fucking fast.
How do you plan on routing the trail?
I plan on listening to my body as much as possible and not over planning. Bike the sections I want to bike and walk the sections I want to walk, and not feel pressured for, in quotes, doing it wrong, because I'm doing it right if I'm listening to myself and I'm not trying to win anything. I just want to listen to what I need and honestly take more time to listen. And that's something actually I've honestly learned from you. Like when I ask you something, do you want to do this? You're like, I don't know. I'm like, that is such a different answer for me, because I'm so used to, I feel this pressure to make decisions extremely fast so I don't disappoint myself, disappoint other people, whatever it is. And I just don't want to do that.
What are your personal goals for the trail?
I want to have as much fun as possible, which is such a great goal. Like, what a great goal to have. If you were going to have a goal, like to have
That's
fun.
The goal. It's not about finishing at a certain time or at a certain date or beating any records.
It's not even about finishing. I want to say yes to opportunities I want to say yes to, and also say no to opportunities I actually don't fucking want to.
I mean, that kind of goes into one of our other questions. Are you doing any other activities?
Yes.
On the trail this time?
Hell yeah. Concerts. I want to see the dogs as much as possible. I want to take 0 days. Podcasting. Dude, is there any way I could bring my guitar? I mean, could you keep my guitar with you?
Yeah. I can play the harmonica a little bit.
That's really cool. We can totally make a band.
It's going to sound bad.
I love that it's raining.
It's raining. It's raining and it's really nice.
It's so nice.
Why did you decide to mountain bike the trail?
Because after doing the AT and the PCT, I realized that I don't really enjoy walking because it hurts my body a lot and my feet hurt and I don't have the best knees, and biking seems way better for my body. And I love being out in the trail and I love camping, but the only way I really could do the CDT was if I changed how I did it. And I still wanted to finish my Triple Crown because I think this is, because I love being out there and I love the long trails and how terrible and beautiful it is, but I don't want to do any more damage to my body than I already have, which I definitely did. And I think a lot of people do when you're through hiking, because it's not great for you. For some people, like, I don't have great knees. Like, that's just the reality. I wish that wasn't true and I wish I could, but mountain biking has been so great for my body. I've never felt this confident in myself. I don't actually give a flying fuck what I look like, which is so insane to think about, because I've never had that freedom about my body. And I'm just so stoked that I'm going to be feeling and connecting so much of myself to this experience. And I don't care if it's different. I don't care if you don't want to call it a Triple Crown. It's a Triple Crown to me, and that's all I fucking care about.
How are you processing leaving the dogs and family?
I know that it's definitely the best thing. When I was bikepacking with Liz, I really let myself feel what it was going to be like being away from the dogs and Eric. COVID and everything that we've gone through over the last year, I know I have really relied on his emotional support and the dog's emotional support. And I don't want to be completely dependent on those things for my happiness.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to get into bikepacking or backpacking, adventure sports, anything like that?
I think we should both answer this question. We have very different experiences of what we like to do in nature, and I think it's important.
My advice for someone who wants to get into anything outdoorsy, honestly, is to just really prepare yourself. Think about your safety, think about what you need. Skill level and all of that, you can really vary it as long as you're honest with yourself. Like, if you're a beginner level, don't do advanced level things.
For me, I know my anxiety can really get a hold of me, and I know that going into it. And so just being very real about how bad it can get. What are the things that we're going to be facing out there that are going to be challenging? How to process that and how to acknowledge the hardships. I don't think it's wise to do stuff like that unless you know what circumstance you're going to be in. Just be honest about it. What do you need to work on? If it's mental health stuff, how can you get help? And if it's physical stuff, how can you do that? Like, whatever it is, prepare.
How does your body feel different this time from the other times on trail?
I feel like after this bikepacking trip that I just went on, I got this. And I've never thought that about myself. I just know I'm not going to push it if I don't need to. And I think that's the biggest difference.
Well, I think that's cool too, because your body's in a really healthy place, but also your mind is in a really healthy place. So they're working together versus your mind pushing your body. And that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference.
Okay, let's get into these rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
What's your favorite piece of gear?
My shoes, because I've had so many foot injuries. Finding shoes that fit my really junky feet and flat feet. Not as flat as yours.
My feet are extremely flat.
They're so flat.
Disgustingly flat.
Not disgusting.
No, they're very creepy. Like,
no, it's just like paper.
I have two bricks.
You have two little trunks.
Yes, I really do.
Yeah, but that's fine. I just really appreciate shoes that dry fast, that are easy to put on, but mostly just the fact that they fit my feet and I don't get any sores. I just have always had so many blisters on my feet where, like, you can't, it's not fun to do anything with because you're just in pain.
What's your favorite trail food that you're looking forward to?
Dude, chili burritos. What is it?
Sweet
chili.
Chili.
Burritos. And I love them.
What would your theme song be?
I have to say that mine is Pocahontas. I feel like it's definitely Colors of the Wind.
Dude,
because
that's a great one.
There, I feel like there is there a key change?
because there's a key change?
Well, I think it's absolutely necessary for me as a human because who knows?
Key change.
It has to be a key change. I'm pretty sure there is one. Also, it's sad. It's beautiful.
It's kind of inspirational. I could say a lot of things here. My initial reaction was the Final Countdown. It just seems really intense.
You're not.
I'm not at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so that was your initial, so what's your backup song?
You know what my second reaction was? John Cena's.
What song?
Do, 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 do. I mean, yeah, that's, I don't know why I feel like my theme songs are these like really intense songs because I'm not intense as a person at all. When realistically my theme song would be like probably very sleepy piano. What is your most embarrassing moment on trail?
I don't want to tell this story.
Is it where you cried under the bridge?
Yeah.
I get secondhand embarrassment. Like you wouldn't believe. Yeah, it's so hard. That's way worse for me than embarrassing for myself.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you.
Oh,
I don't
it sucks.
Even think I can come up with anything else because that is just the most true thing to me.
What's the strangest food you've ever eaten on trail or in life?
After church one day, we made an ornament. They were like cookie ornaments, but they weren't cookies. They were made out of glue. I gave my stepdad that to hold. And I came back to show, like, my mom the ornament I made, and he had eaten
strangest food
that I've secondhand.
That you've secondhand watched somebody eat? The first thing that comes to mind is a mashed potato sandwich. Or I had... I had mashed potatoes.
I have so many questions. Is it boxed mashed potatoes?
Yeah. They're like in a little bag and you add water. I've actually done it more than once, which is the most embarrassing part of it. But yeah, you make the mashed potatoes. Yeah,
give me the recipe.
And you just put it on whatever bread you have. Sourdough, ideally. Because, duh. If you could eat only one thing for the rest of your life, popcorn. What would it be? Popcorn? What a quick answer.
I know.
Wow, I want to say pizza.
Basic as fuck.
Well, you're trying to be unique and different, Grizz.
Yeah.
And here I am like, pizza. Because you can put anything on it.
Okay, if you had a superpower, what would you choose? I would make life into a musical. I just want my own, like, I just want to be able to be like, and then everyone, not that I would be with it, maybe just the animals.
My superpower would be... Like, I want to be, like, a really fast person.
Basic.
No, that's not basic.
That's true.
I should rethink, because maybe I don't want to be fast. I want to have the ability to make things happen quickly. So if I want to order a pizza, because I'm going to eat it for the rest of my life, I want it to be here immediately. If I have to go to the gas station or something like that, I want the gas to pump immediately. Like,
I love this superpower.
Speed up of time.
I think it's a great superpower.
Thanks.
Should I... reconsider mine?
If you want to.
No, I think I'm gonna stick with it.
Well, friends, that's the episode. Thanks for listening and joining us. In the show notes, you can find resources, discussion questions that will get you processing your own goals and dreams, and much, much more. So be sure to check it out. So in the meantime, consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen. It's a fast, free way to support the show, and it truly does make a difference in helping other people find us. We're on Instagram at underneathitallpod. You can also follow me on Instagram at _Grizzelle_.
Let's fucking get it.